Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in through Conversations Radio Network, we welcome you. Those joining us on the radio dial in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we're glad you all could tune in with us today, as well as those joining us on the East Coast in Atlanta at 106liferadio.com. We're glad you all could be with us as well. Believe it or not, it was almost 10 years ago when I first heard about our next guest. I had just started Conversations the Book Club, and there was a book that came out called This Year I Will, How to Finally Change a Habit, Keep a Resolution, or Make a Dream Come True. That author was MJ Ryan. She has a brand new book out this year that I think you all are going to really appreciate, because it really is about if you found yourself with some habits that you're trying to break or even trying to change the way that you see your life, I think this book can definitely help you. The book is called simply Habit Changers, 81 Game-Changing Mantras to Mindfully Realize Your Goals. We're going to talk to MJ not only about this book, but also what it's been like for her to years to be such a motivational role in people's lives, and how she's been able to learn great lessons for herself, as we're able to see in this book, as well as from others that now all of us can benefit from. If you're just hearing about habit changers, we'll remind you at the end of the segment how you can get the book for yourself. But MJ, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Cyrus. You have an amazing memory.
Well, look,
I did do that book 10 years ago.
Isn't that, I mean, we had started the book club, and we're getting ready to celebrate our 10-year anniversary in October. And when I was going through books getting ready for 2007, your book came across our radar. Of course, we've had a great relationship with your publisher, of course, over the years as well, so that kind of helps. But, you know, I think The great thing about you, MJ, is that you have been able to show people in such a inspiring way how they can not only be better but do better. I mean, what has that been like for you to know that you've been able to learn these lessons and share them?
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's wonderful that you brought up the other book, because this to me is a companion. This is like my newest thinking, right? So what's it been like? Well, I've had the opportunity and really what I consider to be the privilege to work over these last, actually, for me, it's been about 15 years now, with helping people all around the world change to achieve the things that they want in their lives. And what I notice inside of myself is the happiest I ever am when someone says to me, "Oh, that was really helpful." And whenever I hear those words, and I think, I've done my job. This is what I'm here to do. I'm here to help. And when I can help, it's just such an amazingly fabulous feeling. So I want to always figure out how to be as helpful as possible. And that's what's really led me into all of the work that I've done on researching what does help people change and coming up with really practical ideas. And that's what this book is about. But really, it's been, you know, I just want to be helpful, the bottom line.
And I think, MJ, the other thing about you that you're so honest about, even in habit changes, is that you are still learning. One of the mantras that you share in the book is don't push buttons that don't need to be. And you share a great lesson that you learned from your own daughter. That you then share with us. I mean, do you think that is another reason why you've had what we look at as success, is because just as we are able to say, I can do that, that you are able to have those same lessons too?
Yes, absolutely. So I feel like I'm always learning, and that don't push buttons that don't need to be was my daughter said to me, and she was 17 at the time. I had asked her, "Have you done your homework?" And she's a super responsible kid. So it was like I was just checking because I was being a mom, right? And what she was reminding me is if you don't need to upset somebody, don't, right? Because of course she felt like I was following up on her unnecessarily. I feel like one of the same problems I have with experts is that they set up this hierarchy. I'm up here, you're there, I know more than you, you poor thing, right? And part of why I always tell stories about myself, as well as, anonymously disguised stories about other people, is because I don't want to come across like that, because what I'm here to do is help empower you help you connect to what you already know, help you do more of what you want. And that's, we're partners in that. And in fact, you know, the woman that I learned my work from, Donna Markova, calls what we do thinking partners. And so that, right. You know, the word out the world in the world there is coaching. But really I'm a thinking partner, and we're partnering together to look at what's working, what's not working, how can we do more of what's working, like that.
For sure. And I love the fact, too, that you realize, as you learned from your 16-year-old daughter, as you also learned from a 22-year-old client that you reference in the book, MJ, the lesson, nothing is permanent. And I appreciate in the moment. And I bring that up because, look, I think like all of us, we don't appreciate the good times enough. And then when the bad times come, we think that, okay, this is just how my life is, no matter what has happened before.
This is going to be it forever.
Exactly.
Yes, actually,
so
absolutely.
Talk to us about,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but one of the things that you revealed to us is it wasn't until you were 40, and I just turned 41 myself, that you realized the importance of that. I mean, talk to us about that lesson and how it's helped you.
Well, I've always been a person, when I was younger, to concretize whatever bad thing is happening, right? And it's actually a habit of pessimists. There's Martin Seligman, who studied pessimism and did a book on how do we learn how to be optimistic, talks about that. So one of the ways that pessimists make themselves unhappy and look is that they think it's permanent, whatever bad is going on. And in fact, what's interesting is research has shown that most of us overemphasize the lasting consequences of bad events. So when something bad happens, or when we think about it, the bad thing hasn't even happened. If I said to you, you know, if something terrible happened, what effect do you think that's going to have on your life? You think it's going to be terrible for the rest of your life, right? And what it turns out, because we don't take into account other things that will happen along the way, essentially, right? On the one hand. And then the other is that, and this is hard, when bad things happen, as a consequence of those, sometimes good things happen as a result, oftentimes. So like, for instance, many people I know who've had lost their houses to fires, including my sister. And at the time, it's a terrible thing. It's a pain in the butt, at least. I mean, and all your wonderful memories. I mean, it's really, really, really hard. But not one person that I've seen go through it doesn't say, you know, that was really good. My sister said, I wanted to get rid of all those things, and now I have a brand new house, right? So there is an upside even to the hard things.
Right. You know, when you said that, I thought about a guest I had on the program a couple of years ago, MJ, Dr. Rob Pennington. He wrote this book called Find the Upside of the Downtime.
Yes,
and,
that's right.
And I think he had gone through everything, losing his wife, being shot, being robbed. I mean, all these horrible things have happened to him. And he was still able to think about the good things, you know, that had happened and that could happen. I think what is so great for me in this book, and the reason why I was so glad to speak with you, is because as people look at their life, as they look at this year even, just taking this year, they may say, oh, this has been a bad year because of something that may have happened that they have allowed to then, you know, to kind of paint the picture for 2016 for them. You know, has one of the big things for you been, as, you know, doing the kind of work that you do, quite frankly, been that you show people that that doesn't have to be anything more than a lesson or even something to help us as we move forward?
Yes, absolutely. And part of it is to say, what have we grown? What qualities of our heart or our mind or our spirit have we grown as a result of this terrible thing? I don't think these things happen to us so we can grow, but I think that I don't think that there's a big conspiracy in the sky to make us have these lessons. But I do think that when they happen, we always have the opportunity to grow and learn, essentially. And so one of the mantras that are in this book that I help people with who are in these states is reach for the better thought. So what these things are actually the instructions of what you want to remember to do. They're not affirmations. Affirmations are like, I am smart, I am beautiful, I am kind. Those things, I think, are not actually very effective because people think, well, no, I'm not really that smart, or I'm really not that confident. So it brings up the other side. But what these things do are reminders of the thing that you want to actually do. They're triggers to behavior. That's why they're so effective. So for the reach for the better thought, you've got to actually, when you're pessimistic or negative, or you can only see that glass half empty, you actually have to work to come up with the better thought. So when you have, so I love that idea of reaching for it. Reach for that better thought, because if you do, you're actually, and when you do, you will feel better.
For sure.
At least a little bit.
Yeah, and we have great examples of that in this book. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to the Conversations Live. I'm very excited to welcome MJ Ryan to our program today. She has written a book that really touched me years ago called This Year I Will, and now, as she said in this conversation, she has a great companion this year in the book Habit Changers, 81 Game-Changing Mantras to Mindfully Realize Your Goals. Now, my regular audience knows, MJ, I'm notorious for my daily to-do list. Sunday through Saturday. One of the things that you talk about that you kind of moved around, as I have been guilty of doing myself, is that in the mantra, all you need is the first action. You talked about your website. And I think that is such a great example of not realizing the importance of, as you say, the first action. Talk to us about that, because there are some of our audience members out there who have made a resolution for themselves or for their lives and said, this is what I want to do. And now as they're closing out this year, they haven't come anywhere near it. Do you think part of it is that we do seem to make it too big?
Well, sometimes we make it too big. Sometimes we actually don't know what the action is. So a lot of times people say things like, I'm going to have greater work-life balance this year. And so then I say, how? And there's dead silence. Like, so you've got to turn it into an action, which is why you're talking about that one about what's the first step. So once you understand what the action is, what are you actually going to do? Is it you're going to put your feet up on the couch for 15 minutes? What are you actually going to do? You have to change it. You have to get it down to behavior. So that's one reason why we don't. But the bigger thing is this. Our brains are already completely wired to do things the way we're already doing them. So if you're a procrastinator, for instance, you're wired to do that, and it's really, really easy to do what you're already doing and really, really hard to do it differently. So that's why I wrote the original book, was to kind of explain to people some tricks and techniques to make it easier. But then I had this revelation with this client a couple of years ago, which led to this new book, which is this guy was told by people that he was the worst boss they ever had, and he was a micromanager, and he was sent to me actually by his boss. Most people come voluntarily; he was assigned, and it turned out that he just really didn't understand how do you delegate in such a way that you're still going to get a good result if the people don't give you exactly what you need. He used to grab it from them and do it himself, which of course nobody likes. So I was yammering on about how you delegate, da-da-da-da, and he looked at me and he said, that's too complicated. You have to give me something simple that I can remember. And that's what I realized. And then I said to him, okay, when you do this, say what and why, not how. The how is up to the person. So say what you want, why you want it, not how to do it. So we turned it to say what and why not how. He said, I can remember that. So he'd say to himself, what and why not how, every time that he met with somebody, right, one of his employees. Yeah. And guess what? He completely changed. And not only did he change, he got a promotion, and everyone was happy. So that's when I realized that part of why changing is so hard is because we have to have some reminder of the thing we're trying to do differently, or else we'll keep doing the old thing, because we're wired to do that. And the old habit is literally a habit, meaning it's automatic, and the new thing doesn't really exist at all in our brain, except for an idea that we once heard or an intention that we have. And so this allows us when we use these things, to actually remember consciously enough, to practice enough that it ultimately becomes automatic.
Yeah, I think that is so true. And again, it is something I want to actually read, because I love the way that you phrase this in the book, MJ. For those who have the book already, the print edition, it's found on page 147. This is what MJ says in talking about this, I suggest they stop thinking about the whole and just focus on the first action. This allows them to take that initial step, which alleviates their anxiety about the big picture. And this doesn't work only when getting started. Once you get started, just modify this habit changer to focus on the action that's next rather than first. No matter what the project is, you can do it one action at a time. And I think that is it. And, you know, when you were just talking just now, MJ, I thought about this, that, you know, I'm sure our audience is thinking the same thing, that, you know, for them, you'll never know what you can do. You'll never know how something works or what is possible if you never make a step, if you never do anything. And I think it makes perfect sense when you hear someone say it. But, you know,
you have to actually do it, right? Yeah.
You have to actually do it. Right.
Right. Yeah, and part of it is, you know, sometimes a lot of what procrastination is about, I know I have to do it, but I'm not doing it, is anxiety about the whole thing because it feels so big. It feels so overwhelming, you know? And so if you go, don't think about that. Just what's the first thing you got to do in this? Then you get into action. Then you're starting forward motion, and then you just one action yourself to the future.
Right. I think that is it. You know, you have been able to, as I said, to help people, you know, for years now, MJ, and you have had such respect among your colleagues, other authors, of course. You know, I can only imagine that, you know, for myself, when I think about the work I'm able to do, how satisfying it is for me to know that I'm doing something that I love and that someone gets value out of. Is that what keeps you motivated, knowing that you're not only growing, but you're helping other people to grow as well?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about that. You know, it's interesting that there's lots of interesting research on what motivates people to do the work they do beyond paychecks. So, yes, we all need money to live. But beyond that, what makes people want to get up in the morning and do their work, right? And they found that they fall into three big buckets. One is mastery, meaning the ability to learn and grow, get better at what you're doing. Two is autonomy, which is the freedom to do it the way you want. So like, oh, I want to do this, to explore the way you want, freedom. And the third is purpose. So you feel like what you're doing matters, either because it's part of something larger or because the thing itself seems to matter, right? And
right.
So for each of us, one of those things, or maybe all of them, matter to you. For me, it's all about purpose. It's all about feeling like I'm making a difference, and that's been true my whole life, and has directed the different kinds of things that I have chosen to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, too, realizing our limitations and what we can do. The final mantra I want to mention in this conversation, MJ, is another one that references your own situation with your daughter. She makes another appearance, and whose business is this? This is one I have gone through a situation recently where this is so interesting. When I was reading your book, I thought about, okay, this is exactly what I was doing. And I want to read a bit of what you write in here and then have us discuss it a little bit. This is the question you pose. Have you found yourself rescuing others by doing the work for them, making others look more responsible, seem more approachable, sound more reasonable? Some of my clients take on the shortcomings of their prickly or less productive colleagues, clients, or family members and try to cover, prevent, or solve other people's problems for them. Although this is more common among my female clients, men can do it too. If this behavior sounds familiar, you may have trouble with boundaries. I mean, this is a big one. I don't have a wife or kids yet, but I think about what I do in my professional life and what I've done with my friends and trying to cover or what I have said, overcompensate for them so that they don't look dopey, you know, or they don't look irresponsible. Why has it been so important for you to realize, starting first with your own home, but also to share with your clients?
Yeah, so this is actually whose business is it, comes from a woman named Byron Katie, and it's a way to figure out, is this, am I overstepping what I'm supposed to be doing here and going into their business? I think part of it is that especially when we're helpers by nature, those of us who are helpers by nature, those of us who are helpers by profession, right? So we want to help. And so we can get very confused between helping and enabling, right? And helping and you know, taking away other people's power or covering up their problems, et cetera, when what we really need to do is help them, is let them solve their problems themselves or fail and then have to figure out how to get up and pick themselves up and succeed, right? And so, of course, as a parent, this is so hard. I mean, I can say this, and I've helped people with this, and it's helped me in other ways, but when it came to my kid going through that transition from being a child protected totally by me to being a young adult who has to go out in the world by herself, boy, I still have to practice this every single day. She's 20 now and in college, right? So
it's a big one. It is a big one, and I think, like you said, and you really hit it for me personally in my situation that I was dealing with, when you're used to helping people, and especially like you said, you know, especially when it's part of who you are, especially has kind of taken over your life professionally, that's what you're used to doing. I think letting go, too, and you know, you talk a little bit about habits in this book when it comes to some mantras as well. You know, I think there is this thing about what we give up and what we take on. And I go back to what you mentioned earlier about, you know, when it comes to situations, instead of thinking about everything as being all bad, appreciating the good. And I think that is part of that exchange, realizing, okay, that you have your work to do, but everyone has their own work. And as you said, that is not always easy to, you know, to really put into action, but it's so necessary. Because wouldn't you agree, MJ, it takes away our own peace when we feel as though we're having to do so much for others, we take away our own enjoyment of life.
We take away our peace and their power simultaneously.
Yeah.
Because what it says to them again is they're too pathetic to do this by themselves. They can't figure it out. Or we don't trust that if they fall that they have the resources, the emotional resources to pick themselves up. So we're saying again, I'm better than you. I know more than you. And that one up, one down really, really keeps people disempowered. And so as opposed to, I know you can do this, I know it's a hard, I wonder how you're going to get through this, like that.
Right.
So it's not just your peace, it's their power as well. Yeah.
And what a great thing for us to remember that, you know, we all have the ability to do these things. And again, that goes for those that are family members, those that we work with, those that are our friends. So allow, you know, we can be there to support one another, but to realize that each one of us have our journey for sure. What a great conversation, MJ. I'm so glad you and I got a chance to speak. Again, the book is Habit Changers, 81 Game-Changing Mantras to Mindfully Realize Your Goals. At the end of kind of going through these mantras, and I'm sure our audience will appreciate them enough to want to continue to go through them because, you know, we're not going to get them all right the first time through. What was your hope, MJ, when you finished the book that people would take away from the 81 that you share here?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a random number, sort of intentionally, but it's really the top issues that I work with people on, right? So the kinds of things that whether my clients are dealing with around self-confidence or anger or stress or worry, you know, all of the stuff, and we've covered a bunch of them together. But so I've picked the things that were most common, and what I really hope is that people really, they're useful, right? That people, A, find ones that they can use and really do practice, because, again, it's the practice that actually creates the change. You can't just say it once to yourself. you've got to, you know, use it if you really want to make a difference and change the way that you fundamentally deal with a particular thing. But also be able to start to take this wider technique and use it for yourself, to recognize that the reason, a big reason why you maybe haven't changed in the ways that you want is that you haven't figured out how to remind yourself of what you actually want to do, so you start doing the new thing. And so what I'm really hoping is that even if none of them apply to your situation, you get the gist of it, so you can make one up for yourself and use it. And I want to really encourage one more thing. I really want to encourage people to take one at a time. I was just doing a book signing, and this woman said, there's so many that you mentioned, I want to do them all. I said, yeah, no. That's another way we fail. Pick one, do that, nail it, change that, and then go back to another.
Right, for sure. Yeah, don't. I mean, that definitely takes the joy out of it. If you overwhelm yourself, right? I mean, you'll definitely never be able to appreciate. But I think these are also what we call here on the program conversation pieces as well, MJ, because I think as we are going through them, I know for myself when I was first reading your book, I was telling people about what I was reading. So then you're able to share that, and they're able to say, well, you know what, I'm going to try that too. I mean, so it definitely, yeah, that way you can work through them together. Again, the book is available through our friends at Amazon.com. And, MJ, you've set up a website just for this book. Why don't you give that out for our audience?
Yeah, it's habit-changers.com. And so you can go there, and there's some tools and techniques there. And I'm also – people who are on Facebook, I have a Facebook page, but the page you might want to join is Change Expert MJ Ryan, because then I'm posting all the time there about my on change and how you change. So.
Okay, and we'll make sure that we tag that as well, MJ. Congratulations again to you on the book, and thank you so much for the time. And I hope you will come back with your next release. We'd love to have you back on.
Thank you, Cyrus, and a happy anniversary. For your 10 years.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Make sure you guys add Habit Changers to your library. You definitely want to go ahead and head over to Amazon.com and get it for yourself. There's a lot of great mantras in here. And as you heard MJ say, don't try to do them all at one time. Pick one, start with that, and then you'll never know what happens as you're able to move throughout the book and as you share it with others as well. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with MJ, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. We haven't done it already, but we will go ahead and we'll tag MJ's Facebook page with the link to this conversation. Also, we'll be posting it on Twitter as well, so you can head over to our page at twitter.com/CyrusWeb or head over to facebook.com/CyrusWeb. You can click on the link there, listen to the show completely for free, and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.